Lake Effect brings you conversations about what's happening in Milwaukee and the people, places, and organizations that shape the community. This is Lake Effect Spotlight from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
The library is more than just books, and our series with the Milwaukee Public Library, Books and Beyond, showcases that by sharing resources, book recommendations, and just some cool stuff you might not know about. Today, we are showcasing some spooky Milwaukee history, the haunting of Engine House 35. The firehouse is located at 64th and Fairview Avenue, and the building isn't that old. It opened in January of 1999. But it's what it was built on that reportedly makes it hospitable to ghosts, the former site of the Fairview Mausoleum. To find out more about the mausoleum's history, I spoke with librarian Dan Lee, who looked into the location in Milwaukee Public Library's cemetery collection. This collection includes historic burial records on microfilm dating back to the 1800s into the 20th century.
The Fairview Mausoleum opened up shortly before World War I, 1912 through 1914. And people were buried there up until the 1990s, but it did have financial problems because it did go bankrupt in the 1950s. And then finally in 1994, it reached the point where they couldn't maintain the mausoleum, and they realized that it was just cost prohibitive to maintain it and also to bury people as well. And what happened at that time was that the city, through the Department of City Development, took it over. And then the decision was made, what do we do with the remains before building a fire station? And then they were fortunate enough to find that the Graceland Cemetery was willing to become the new home of the eternal visitors at Fairview, who were there for, you know, a few decades or close to a century, and they were just relocated.
Fairview isn't the only cemetery relocation in Milwaukee County, according to Lee. There are close to a dozen cemeteries that have been closed in the county dating back to the 1950s.
We have a map in our collection called the Milwaukee County Cemetery Map that is kept at the desk in the Frank Seidler Humanities Room. And on one side, there's a map of Milwaukee County with all the active cemeteries marked on there. And then on the back, there's a list of removed cemeteries.
Moving remains takes a lot of planning and work, and an inventory was done at the time the city took over Fairview, recording when they moved the deceased from the mausoleum to Graceland Cemetery. Lee shares a few details in the records that stood out to him as he was going through the cemetery archives.
Catherine Crosby was a survivor from the Titanic, and she died 8 years after the 1912 sinking in 1920. And on the crypt niche inventory, it reads, died July 29th, 1920, and that's on the plaque. And it mentions that, actually, it doesn't have that much information on her. Some of the other, you know, people, there is more descriptive information, but unfortunately, that's not the case with Catherine Crosby.
So what about some of the more descriptive information you were able to find?
Well, since, you know, Station 35 is there, there is actually a person who apparently was a firefighter. Unfortunately, the printing of his first name isn't that good, so that I'm not sure if his first name is Redhold or Redenhold. His last name is Isleb, I-S-L-E-B, Redhold Isleb. The note here reads, wearing firefighter uniform with bow tie, and the plaque reads, at rest.
That's kind of an amazing connection there. I wonder if he's one of the ghosts that haunts the station that we've heard stories about.
it's a case of, you know, 6 degrees of separation.
Other details in the Fairview records include some specific notes that describe the condition of objects like caskets or what clothes people were buried in.
Augusta Isleb, she was dressed with a large ribbon, gold-colored ring, and black shoes. I guess they found that noteworthy when they were doing this inventory. And The last ISLEB that caught my eye, it says here on the urn, ISLEB infant, name Pauline ISLEB. And the note says infant ISLEB, and this actually does have a death or burial date. It appears to read May 9th, 1910, and was identified by the ribbon on the urn. Her casket was described as cloth, and apparently her casket was in this case, the urn was in a good condition because it said none for casket deterioration, and she was dressed in a black dress with gold pattern.
999 people of all ages and backgrounds were moved from the Fairview Mausoleum to Graceland Cemetery, so I suppose it's possible some spirits are sticking around. To get a firefighter's perspective, I spoke with the City of Milwaukee Fire Department's Chief Aaron Lipsky, who's worked in the department for almost 30 years. According to Lipsky, there's always been a good and strong collection of people who have worked out of Firehouse 35, and firefighters who first occupied the station in 1999 were very aware of the site's history. In fact, the fire station's nickname is the Crypt Keeper.
Nicknames at fire stations sometimes come and go, but that one has stuck. There's a lot of lore in some of our fire stations about such things. They were on hallowed ground. They were on the site where, you know, people's family had been interred. And so anything that might occur oddball was instantly seized on. And, you know, the stories made the rounds very rapidly in the fire department.
Yeah. So what are some of those stories? And it's been reported, as you said, by firefighters who have worked there, that ghosts or spirits kind of come and go, usually the cause of some mischief, mostly harmless. But what are some of the stories that have been shared within the fire department?
So it's a pretty wide variety. There's always the opportunity for you to hear oddball noises in a fire station. You've got different people who are in different spots, but numerous instances of noises being heard. And when people have gone to investigate, there is nobody in that area. And there's no way they could have been in that area without you seeing them on the way in. Pots and pans flying off stoves. There was a few reports of actual sightings at night, folks awakening and there being a figure standing next to the bed. And I believe the one report was so specific as to they were dressed in, you know, the clothing of eras gone by, that it was very obviously not one of their co-workers. So like an apparition. There's been numerous reports of being in a certain spot in the fire station and all of a sudden feeling a very, very pronounced cold draft and chill pass right through you. Now, maybe that was just an oddball thing with the HVAC system and the AC, like, right? It could be any of those things, but when you're aware that's where you're working, it seems weird. And the folks that talked about those things were very specific that no, this was not that. This was something extra. And I think the one report that was very consistent, and we checked everything over and over again in the building mechanically, was that you could go to take a shower after a fire to clean off, or in the morning if you're getting ready to start work and you're going to take a shower, and you would end up with just freezing cold water no matter what you did, and that it could change. You could get in, it could be, okay, this is a nice, warm, normal shower, and all of a sudden it would just change and go. And that's not normal, right? That's not how plumbing works, you know, unless you absolutely run a hot water heater, you know, down to nothing, but even then you get a gradual. So that was something a lot of people have remarked on over the years. Again, maybe there's some weird oddball thing with that plumbing, but it's built where a mausoleum used to be. So of course it's a ghost.
But are firefighters in general a superstitious group? While Lipsky says they try to stray away from superstition because it doesn't serve a purpose for them, they also don't ignore hunches.
Despite being all just the facts, ma'am, we also survive because of those hair on the back of your neck hunches that occur, right? And we actually train our people to pay attention to that. Even if you don't understand why it's happening, something's happening, start to reevaluate the known facts.
While they try not to be superstitious, Lipsky says there are also two other fire stations where similar reports have stood the test of time and even resurfaced over the years.
You know, we're excellent storytellers in the fire service. We can really spin a yarn, but the stories get old and it's, you know, what happened next? Tell me the next story. Tell me the next story. And the old ones can die off, no pun intended. And when it resurfaces 12 or 13 years later, and you've crossed over those kind of generational ranges, and all of a sudden you're hearing someone talk about, no, I swear to God, someone knocked on the door and there was nobody there, on an inside door inside the fire station. And that has happened quite a bit at one of our stations on Burnham. And we had one station where, unfortunately, a number of MFD members died after coming back from a chemical fire, including the chief of the fire department. It was a way, 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 way time ago. But that building is still in service. And so there's all kinds of reports of noises and just hearing footsteps, footfalls on the creaky wooden stairs, and there's nobody there. So we try not to be superstitious, but, you know, we observe things. We experience things, and we try to make sense of it, and we can't. Got to be a ghost.
Lipsky says he's never personally experienced any spooky, unexplainable scenarios, but that doesn't mean he doesn't believe other people's experiences. Given the kind of juxtaposition of firefighters being logical, you're sorting out what you're observing, and yet not discounting people's experiences, would you say you believe in ghosts or spirits?
Yeah, I think there is I think probably, especially in today's day and age, you could easily be framed to sound like some sort of quack to even suggest that you believe in that. But I will tell you, I have seen human beings do, beyond just firefighters, regular citizens, I've seen them do superhuman, unbelievable things in the face of horrible danger and at great risk to themselves. And I've seen our own firefighters do that time and again. And I have to believe there are other energies at work. And I've seen stuff with my own eyes that I can't make sense of, that our folks have gone into and out of, and they've been successful at a rescue. You have to believe there's some other energy, whatever you call it, whatever a person's belief system is, there is something larger at work here. I think that's the best way to say it.
Despite the firehouse's reputation, Lipsky says no one protests being assigned there or tries to leave, even if they've experienced their own encounters.
We had the one gentleman at Station 35, the Crypt Keepers, reports waking up and feeling a very heavy pressure on his body. This is late at night. He was able to sleep for a little bit, and a very heavy pressure pressing down on his body to the point that he actually had a bruise when he woke up, right? But he was in an isolated area again. But none of those folks ever said, no, I got to get out of here.
Today, the firehouse is still operated by the Milwaukee Fire Department, but also shares the building with Wauwatosa's Engine 55. So there's always some company for the ghosts.
We were afraid of all the ghosts, so we stuck Tosa in there.
Exactly. Just didn't tell them.
That's right, right. Let them find out on their own.
If you've had your own ghostly encounter and want to find out more about where they might be buried, librarian Dan Lee says you can start your research by going online to look at the cemetery collection before coming into Central Library to dig through the records.
People can go online to npl.org and click on the green research button near the top right, and there's a drop-down menu, and they'll see our genealogy page. And on the genealogy page, they'll see the Milwaukee County Records Research at Milwaukee Public Library page. And that will list the cemeteries, what we have on microfilm, so that the actual information hasn't been digitized and posted online, but they know that we have it, so patrons can come in and look at them on microfilm.
Happy ghost hunting and happy Halloween.
You can find more interviews like this one by visiting wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And while you're there, subscribe to the Lake Effect Spotlight podcast.